Well, good morning to everyone for joining us here for Easter. We have many guests in our midst, and we have a lot of people watching online at this time, and we are excited and blessed to have you with us today. If you've been with us at any point through the Lenten season, you would know that our focus time was the time Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the garden, we saw the humanity of Jesus as he was full of sorrow, saying, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And we saw the divinity of Jesus, whose will was aligned with God's will, as he was willing to take the cup of everything that was about to happen to him. And as we covered the events of the night in the garden, it was pretty obvious the disciples did not get what was going on. In fact, they were so out of it, they were asleep for most of it. Like the average Sunday service. I'm kidding. If we go back a whole week before the night in the garden, we would see the disciples still weren't getting most of what was going on. Jesus was anointed in Bethany with an expensive perfume, a funeral perfume. And Jesus explained what it meant, and the disciples didn't get it. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was hailed as a king, but for all the wrong reasons. And the scriptures say the disciples didn't get it. A few days later, Jesus predicted his death. And again, the scriptures say the disciples didn't get it. And at the Last Supper, Jesus said and did many things that, again, the disciples didn't get. And in the garden, when Jesus was overwhelmed with emotions, praying with such fervor that his sweat turned into drops of blood, the disciples didn't get it. And as I mentioned, they had fallen asleep. And that takes us to the end of the story in the garden, when suddenly Judas shows up with a group of armed people to arrest Jesus. And in response to this arrest, Jesus says this: "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out to me with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. You know, even today, I think it is hard for us to understand. It is hard for us to comprehend how or why God does what God does. But if there is one thing that I do know, that our God is a God of promises. And even better than that, our God is a keeper of promises. All the events of Easter happened because of God's promise to restore mankind to a right relationship with him. Because of Adam and Eve, all mankind has been subjected to sin. But it was also in the Garden of Eden that God made his first promise. From Genesis 3, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, this is obviously not plain English for you and me. But when you study this passage in context with other scriptures, we discover that God was foreshadowing the showdown between Jesus Christ and Satan. And that while Satan did strike a blow in the garden, he struck a blow to all of mankind by bringing sin and evil into this world. Ultimately, it would be the Son of God who would be born in a manger. He was the Son of God who would deliver the death blow to Satan by his death, burial, and resurrection. And since the Garden of Eden, Many promises were made by God. In Genesis 3, speaking to Abraham, he said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that descendant of Abraham, the one who would bless all people, was Jesus Christ. And all the events of his birth, his death on the cross, and even his resurrection are all promises kept by God. Even from our reading from Psalm 16, we get the promise of the resurrection. 16:9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will let your faithful one see decay. And on that first Easter Sunday, God kept his promise. The tomb could not contain our Savior. Jesus triumphed over sin and death. Jesus overcame the power of sin in our lives. Because of Jesus, the head of the serpent, the head of Satan, has been crushed. The book of Revelation teaches that the resurrection of Jesus was the fatal wound delivered to Satan. And we have the promise that when Jesus comes again, it will be a complete and final victory when Satan and all the evil will be destroyed once and forever. Now, it is fair for you to ask, why this way? Why wait? Why not now? Why do we have to live in this turmoil for now? It's fair to say, I don't get what God is doing. I think those are fair questions. But Isaiah 55 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What I can assure you, while there are many things considered a holy mystery, questions that we just don't have answers to, there's one thing we can be assured of, and that God makes promises and God keeps promises. From Revelation 21, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And we have so many fulfilled promises with many more to come. Just going back to John 14, he says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And we know that Jesus ascended into heaven. That's a promise kept. Jesus is preparing a place for us, a promise yet to come. And continuing in John 14, he says, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. People, this is a promise kept. We have been given the ability as God's church to share God's good news, to lead people to salvation, to pray and lay hands on people to bring healing. We have been given the power to drive out demons. We have been given the gift of prophecy and so much more. The church is the living body of Jesus Christ, and it is the church that carries on the work of Jesus Christ. Promise kept. And John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Another promise kept. We have the Holy Spirit. And I could go on and on and on and on about the promises of Jesus. He promised that grief would turn to joy, and on the third day he would rise again. Jesus promised that he would live in the hearts of his followers. Jesus promised that while they didn't understand, that one day they would. Promises kept, promises kept, promises kept. promises kept. And we also have promises yet to come, a promise of his return, a promise of final judgment, a promise of eternal life, and not just any eternal life, but an eternal life where Satan is destroyed, an eternal life where there is no evil, no darkness, no sickness, and no sorrow. And I pray today you already know and have accepted the promises of Jesus. But let me be clear, in addition to the glorious promises we have, we are also guaranteed that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, their eternity will be in the lake of fire. You have one alternative or the other. Jesus was real. He really lived. He really died. And he really rose from the grave. And I promise you, Jesus is really coming back for the final judgment. And today, you have a choice. You have a choice to accept or reject the promises of God. And remember, he is a God of promises made and a God of promises kept. And here's one more for you. Writings of Paul, Romans chapter 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not by your works. It's not how good you are. It's not how many times you do or don't do this or do that. It's all about what's in your heart. Do you love God, and is he your Lord and Savior? It is your choice today to choose what you believe. For some of you here today, you're here to be with family. You're here because, well, it's Easter. But I'm here because I believe. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Because he walks with me. And he talks with me. Along life's narrow ways. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's the reality. That's the promise that I carry. I love that song. And if Jesus does not live in your heart, you need to call me. You need to know how it changes everything. Because we live in a world of misinformation. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of fake promises and fake people. But there's one truth and only one truth. And that is a God of promises. A God who keeps promises. And I promise you that if you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you dwell and live in his church, he will change you and change your life. And I can tell you right now in this church, the Holy Spirit is at work and doing great and wonderful things. And if you're not part of this church, we encourage you to be part of this church. And if you already have a home church, take that spirit with you and make a difference through your church. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And the world needs to see real truth. and real promises. Promises kept, promises eternal. Let us leave here knowing that He is risen and that He lives within our hearts. And may we share this joyous news with all that we meet. Let us go forth now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.